These are the moments we all live for. How many times have we seen these three work together? Elma Smith out of Africa, straight into the biltong shops of Southwest London. Emily Scarrett, Scazzy Das. Surely you can never run a switch too many times. And Mo Hunt, chippy, snipey, sporty, karaoke. Sounds like the new Spice Girls. Here they come, the good, the Scazz, the rugby.
The Grand, the Slam and the Rugby, brought to you by our friends from Vodafone. Ding, 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 the champions are in the house.
That was a really nice one.
The Grand Slam winners.
Would you want to be Grand or Slam?
You can be Slam.
Hi, Emma. It's so nice to be back.
I feel like you must be Grand because you're wearing the good Scazz and the Rugby.
Yeah, Scazz is Grand, of course she is. The story of my life.
Third successive Grand Slam in a row, sixth successive title. Does that make you feel anything?
Good numbers, aren't they? Very happy.
Good numbers. We're buzzing. We are buzzing.
We are
Come
buzzing.
On, give
we're
us buzzing. More. Give Come us people what they want.
We need to contextualise. It's, what is it, 2 days post. So we're probably still a little jaded.
Bit, yeah.
Delirious.
Mm-hmm. And definitely delirious. But no, it was so much fun. Had a really good night. Obviously, the tournament was class. Girls are buzzing.
Yeah, and do you know what? Zoe actually said yesterday, we went back to the pub, saw some of the Glass Girls, which was lovely. But she said, this was the most fun Six Nations that I've had. And I think I'd agree with her. Like, it's right up there for me in terms of like how enjoyable it actually was across the board.
Did she say why?
No, I think she just had a really great
Camp
time.
Life.
Yeah. And like really memorable stuff as well, like that rain in Scotland, that anthem was unbelievable. Like, there's no, but genuinely, I've never experienced
anything
like it. It
was the best Six Nations ever. We got rained on in Scotland.
Yeah, it was crazy. But there was just so many different things like that that were like very odd, but also awesome. Do you know what I mean? It just bonded you, and I thought it was awesome. Yeah,
I wasn't in the rain in Scotland, so I can't tell you how great that was.
It wasn't great. It was just so weird. Like, I can't tell you how weird
it was. It was very
odd
watching.
We're getting absolutely pelted, like trying to sing God Save the King. I was holding my hand over poor Tatty's face because I thought she's going to be hating this. But no, it was, she was. And then Ellie's hair. Sorry.
Oh, Ellie's hair was very good.
That actually made me die. It was so funny.
The deterioration was just very good.
But yeah, very cool.
So England number one, France number two, Ireland, wow, third, Scotland fourth, Italy fifth, and Wales with the wooden spoon in sixth. The Super Saturday round, basically, if you had to sum it up, was don't wear blue because you'll be losing. Scotland, Italy, France.
Very good.
Ooh.
Yeah, and piece that together.
Not a winning colour, as it turns out. But also, we have to talk about the fact that we saw Nick Heath finding the both of you and having a little chat. I even have a picture of the two of you with your little medals on the pitch after the game. And
sorry, just for the audio listeners, could you just describe Mo's face?
Creepy little side eye. What is that?
It looks like you're showing off your medal, which is genuinely what we want you to
awful.
Be doing.
Thanks for the screenshot, but yeah, cool photo.
Memories.
You feel like we're hanging you out to dry,
yeah,
a bit
felt
too much.
Cute. Might delete later. No worries.
That moment captured so beautifully what it must have taken out of you, because you did, you said you were tired, but you also looked tired.
Guys, I was so tired. I think it was, what was it, on like 55 minutes or something, or maybe even
there was
shorter.
A passage of play in the second half which was bonkers.
Yeah. Yeah, and it was like kick, 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 and then they kicked in behind and there was literally no one back for us.
Then
and
they tried to get a bit loose, didn't they?
Yeah,
to open it up, turnover. It was carnage. It
and at
look.
That point my head was dropped and I was just running where I thought I needed to go.
Yeah.
And honestly, like, just before I came off, is all I needed to do was kick the ball into touch, because I knew that we all just needed a breather, and obviously we can challenge their lineup, whatever. And I like swung my leg. It was a terrible kick. I was like shouting at Zoe as well to move her feet for a bit, and she turned around, she was like, what is going on? I was like, just move your foot, I can't pass the ball. And then yeah, literally swung my leg at it, and I've never been happier to see little Lucy's face. I was like, yeah, get me out of here.
Everybody that came off, though, they were all knackered.
Yeah, shattered.
When Amy Botts came off, they were literally like stars in their eyes. Yeah. Bless them.
But no, it was awesome. Really, really cool.
Was she verbal? Because you went on the pitch together. There was like a 2 minute gap between when Mo came off and Scazzy went on. Was there any exchange of any sort? Or were they
I
just...
I think I just gave her a hug like you always do with anyone coming off the field. And she just kind of went,
like melted into Scazzy. It's nice.
Just
to
like there were no words. It was just like a
husk of a person. And then you went on, which at that point, 68 minutes, I felt like France still kept on fighting. The score line doesn't exactly for me feel like an accurate reflection, because 42-21 isn't accurate for the kind of fight that they kept on bringing. It just kept on being wild and chaotic.
Yeah, they always bring it. That's quite a good description of them, isn't it? I wonder if they'd take that. But yeah, it's so good. I think as well, obviously, as soon as they got that red card and they were already down on the scoreboard, they were always just going to go, let's just see what happens. That's kind of how they play anyway, let alone when they're down and the kind of chips are against them. Yeah. They could score 2-3 tries out of nothing, which I think is why everyone was still so on it.
Yeah.
Like, obviously, subs going on was still so on it. There was never a moment where you're like, this is gone. Because if you remember last year at Twickenham, I can't remember the scores, but England were up by like 30, 40 points half time. France came back and the final score was within a try, but it never seemed like that because of how the momentum swung.
What was that French crowd like? Because they looked so much more than 28,000. It's crazy. I saw the number 28,023 people in that stadium in Bordeaux, but they, I mean, the little flags also do make it feel a lot more because the movement's crazy. When you look at them, they just look vibrant. And but how much was that noise compared to having just played at Twickenham where you had twice as many fans?
It's got to be similar, if not more. I don't know whether it's perception, but when you're somewhere that's full, it always feels like they're on top and sounds louder or more. Whereas obviously Twickenham, there were more people, but it wasn't technically full, so the feeling sometimes is different. But their anthem was amazing. I just stood there and smiled. I love being in countries that are well supported, singing their anthem, whether it's ours or someone else's. It was an amazing moment because it was so loud. They love it. When we walked out, I don't know if we walked out together. When we walked out for warm up, so this is before anything's happened, we were some of the first out. As soon as you turn the corner out of the tunnel, it was just like boo, like literally people pointing and booing you. I love playing in France. Appreciate that sounds the weirdest thing to say after what I've just said.
So many people do though, don't they? Just that hostile environment and you're like, you want to silence them. Do you know what I mean? Like that's your aim, is to either get them to boo you because you're doing well or just to silence them. And
then sat on the bench, sometimes it was really hard to tell if we'd scored or not because they were like, and then it was almost like we scored and they all went. Like it was the weirdest feeling because there was no noise, no reaction. You just had to keep an eye on the ref to see if she'd put her hand up or not because everybody else was giving you nothing.
They'll just give you absolutely nothing when you score. Yeah. I went around shaming people for booing during the Rugby World Cup last year. Obviously.
Yeah, you'd have had your work cut out.
Yeah. I was just like, shame, stop that. You are an embarrassment. And Richard just kept on going, shush, 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 don't talk to people. Stop it. No, no, they're going to beat us up. Shush, sit down. Because I was constantly going, no, don't boo the ref. Stop booing. But it's a different rugby culture, which, and you have to give it to them because they did make me have the worst FOMO of my life watching it on TV because I was like, oh, we should be, there should be more of us there to just even it out a little bit.
To be fair, there was, wasn't there?
Yeah, when we did our lap of honour.
Yeah, we did a lap afterwards and there's so many
lap
English
of honour,
fans.
Sorry.
Lap of honour.
Terrible.
Nice way.
We did the lap.
She was wagging her finger as she went.
Just everyone just pat myself on the back the whole way around. When we did the lap after, there were like loads of English fans started around. There was
and
also
to be fair,
somebody...
all the French clapped as we went round.
Yeah,
so there's
did.
that kind of before game, in game, but then like there's always the respect post.
Yeah. There was somebody with a sign saying, can I have your shirt for 10 croissants? And then just shaking this bag of 10 croissants.
I did not see that.
I thought you would have swapped.
I would have been all over that.
I actually
would have been
so
all
much
over
respect
that.
For it.
Is that all your legs? 10 croissants?
Do it, it's 10, yeah?
Huh?
Duh. No, that's two.
Two?
How is it spelled? What's 10?
Dees. It's 10, isn't it?
Dees, yeah. How is it spelled? How is Dees spelled? How is Dees spelled? En français.
Don't want me to Google
No, that. It's fine. Anyway, I'm pretty sure it was 10. It looked like a really full bag.
I might not have done it for two.
Yeah, but it might have been a...
Fair.
It might have been a full bag because they wanted multiple, but
respect
you only
the
get two per shirt.
Yeah. Respect the shirt. 10, absolutely. 2, you're a little
you're
bit
pushing
off.
Your leg
no,
there.
Come
you're
on. What
leg.
Would be the limit? 5?
5.
Yeah.
I cannot believe you just said that.
You've got to keep the value in the shirt, Elma.
Do you know what I mean? You got 108 of them. Don't really matter anymore, does it, bud?
These are the things you will not hear on BBC Five Live. Emily Scarrett says she'll quite happily swap her England shirt for 5 croissants.
No, don't. Imagine
they've got to be good croissants, though. I don't want a dry croissant.
Pistachio. If you're in England, pistachio croissants only.
And an almond one.
Ooh. Almond one, yes.
You're going to have so many croissant shakes at you next time you play. You know that.
Someone needs to do this with French subtitles and just put it on the internet. Yeah. Thanks, bye.
What would be like if, say there's like people with 10 croissants in the stand, what would be if someone had a sign saying something else? Like, what is it that they need to?
A Land Rover?
No. Scars, be realistic.
Oh, sorry. Something white chocolate related.
Right, okay.
Oh my God, can we discuss the white chocolate porridge? I have not stopped going on about it, so it only seems
she
right.
She actually hasn't. Guys, this is life in camp.
Small things.
We really get kind of whistled down towards it. Do you want to go or should I?
No, but she's been buzzing about this. So you only get it pre-match on game day
breakfast. Context is we've never had it before. And we took the England men's chef, Tom, with us to Italy and to France. Mm. Not for the other games when we're at home, because sometimes the food can be tricky. Things get lost in translation. Too many croissants. I'm happy no one else is. But so we took him with us. And basically in Italy, he made this white chocolate porridge on game day because like calories, carbs, get it in you.
It's oats?
Like a little treat. Yeah, so normal porridge and you basically just chuck white chocolate in and melt it through. It's not complicated at all, but it was flipping ridiculous. I'm a big white chocolate fan. Loved it. Basically, obviously Italy first game, France last game. I have not stopped going on about this white chocolate porridge until the France game when he was back.
Can confirm.
And it was unbelievable.
France week, she was saying, I really hope there's a white chocolate porridge every morning. And it was there.
Tom said he put a bit of extra white chocolate in as well because it was proper. It was laced.
He described it as white chocolate and oats as the carrier.
Oh my goodness.
That's how he described it to Amy.
It was unbelievable.
You guys must all be hopped up on like crazy levels of energy after having white chocolate for breakfast.
Anyway, sorry, that was... Just wanted to get that in there.
So basically, cool story, a crate load of white chocolate porridge for Skaz and she'll give you all of her England shirts.
I've just got to be literal about this. I don't want cold porridge from the stands. I don't want it.
I don't think, unless it comes in a Yeti.
Unless it comes in a Yeti. Done.
There we go. A red Yeti full of white chocolate porridge. Thank you very much. Now,
I can't wait for the next England game. Make sure you have a sign, cardboard on, and let's see what we can get Skaz to swap a shirt for. I'm here for it.
Speaking of literal, so you guys were chatting to Sarah Orchard after the game. She called you Emily and Natasha repeatedly. And then at the end of your conversation with her, which was quite... Like, you guys were quite lucid at that stage, even though it was immediately after the whistle. Meg Jones, she was chirping in from the background and you said, Classic. Not now, Megan, we're on the BBC. What did she say?
Well, basically, to start with, they're just milling around on the field doing their podcast. So you can't tell if they're just having a normal conversation or whatever. And they started coming towards us. And as they're coming towards us, Sarah basically goes, and we are live on the BBC Rugby podcast. So basically is letting us know that whatever we're about to say, they are recording live. I just thought that was quite funny because we were just having a normal, I don't know what we were talking chat. Yeah. But anyway, I think she just started shouting, the good Skaz rugby, the good Skaz rugby at us. So I just wanted to let her know that it was BBC.
Get a little plug in there, though.
Tiny little plug. Yeah.
Good.
So you had Mitch quite emotional out there on the pitch. Was he that emotional before the game? Have you seen that much emotion from him? Because he blubbed a bit during multiple interviews. So there was obviously a lot happening there for him in the moment. You guys were all quite together. I was impressed.
Didn't feel that together. I'm not feeling like that photo doesn't also suggest that I was together. But
I would say you were probably the most emotional of all the interviews I saw.
No, I think I was, yeah.
Yeah, but he was genuinely overcome. Yeah.
I think, I know he said it, but I think his emotion comes from care. And I think he was saying his emotion comes from care for us, but I think that's how it translates. Like, he doesn't get super... super anything other than you just get this real sense that he cares so much about what he's doing, what we're doing and about us. So I think that's ultimately where it comes from. But
that was very well summarized.
Thank you, Mo.
That's okay. No, yeah, he does just care so much. Like, he's so funny. Like, the stuff that he comes out with as well, he's brilliant. And I don't think we really realise how much, like, not that he cared, because you can tell how much he cares, but that it would affect him like that.
Mm.
I think it was a real quite humbling moment for all of us to see him like that as well.
Yeah. And he said, the girls cry a lot, so I cry as well.
Yeah.
That's so cute.
It is, isn't it?
It's interesting because of such a... it's clearly like he feels like it's a safe enough place, which I think is really important.
Yeah, powerful. It's really powerful, especially someone of his stature and what everything that he's done in his career as well, to see him be like that, especially about like this group and what he's doing and how much he's invested in it and really is bothered about what it means to us and everything.
And also the difference is, like, obviously he's only ever been in a men's program before. So to come in and see potentially how different we are as a female group. Like, I know
he spoke about it a bit, hasn't he?
Yeah, and he always speaks about how funny we are as a group and how like mental sometimes we are, and like sometimes he'll just like poke his head around the changing room door because the music is going mental and everyone's just singing and screeching and he's literally like, what is going on in there? Because obviously that seemingly hasn't happened in his other environment.
Did it what?
Or he just runs in and starts doing a little dance and then runs out again. But like, he just loves it, doesn't he? He loves that. Because then as soon as we're out on the field, it's like, bosh, we're ready to go.
I would love a penny for his thoughts and Jules, his wife, for their for their opinions of our bus journey back. Because obviously, like, we're really professional. Like, everyone's really on it. And for months, like, building into big tournaments, potentially like years going into like a World Cup cycle or whatever, everyone's really on it, so dedicated, like wouldn't touch alcohol, blah blah blah, and then as soon as that final whistle goes, we are like, bosh, like get me to the beers, like what is going on, let's have a few drinks and just enjoying each other's company. And the bus journey home was always quite loose, like obviously we sing on the way home, try scorers whatever, and Bots like runs it really well, doesn't she? But Jules, it would have been her first experience of it. And I would love to know what she thought of it.
And in the post-match function as well, because we had our room that we'd had all tournament in the hotel. They'd put a bar in there for us, so we didn't really have to leave that kind of safe space, which was really cool.
But they always get the worst.
Yeah.
When we're locked in.
It's basically a lock-in.
Lock-ins, yeah.
But she was there, and like the girls had created a little dance floor near where the speaker was, and ABBA was playing, and she was over there having a little dance to ABBA. Like, just stuff like that, which... I briefly spoke to her and I was like, is the boys post-matches like this? And she was like, no, we'd probably just have one drink and then just chill or just have conversations. She was like, I love this. And she's like dancing away to Dancing Queen or something.
Oh, I love so that. Good. It's also, I think it's really important to draw the parallel here between the emotion we saw from Mitch. And as you say, we have seen him coaching in very different setups over a very long time. I've seen him working in the South African space. I've never seen this Mitch. Mm-hmm. Johan Cunningham, on the same day at the final whistle where Wales beat Italy in an incredibly stressful match, breaks down. You see this absolute flood of emotion. There is no way on a Super Saturday during a men's Six Nations you will see two of the coaches on camera openly crying. I mean, I'm sure there is emotion there. But the safety that these men clearly feel within the spaces that they are to showcase all of their feelings and to just come out with how invested they are in it. I think sometimes we don't acknowledge that enough because it makes us as fans feel like we understand you. I mean, I got glassy-eyed when Ireland beat Scotland, both for Scotland and for Ireland's sake. I wanted to cry for both sides. And I'm not Irish or Scottish, but I think it's really important for us as fans to feel like the people in these really powerful positions understand and experience that emotion as well.
It's so powerful. And I think it's so easy to think, just relate it to it, it's your job, but it's a job that you care so much about and you care and you've invested so much in those people that actually, yeah, those outpourings either at full time or when you're talking about it something or when you get asked a question that makes you go back to a certain time that you've experienced with that group or something, it's, yeah, it's super powerful. I do think it's really important. Everyone's human, aren't they? Mm. And also it just shows what a special group rugby teams can be and will hopefully continue to be in those times.
Massively. I think it humanises it as well. Like, obviously, there's so much build-up. Like, we've been in camp, what, for 6 weeks solid, 7 weeks solid?
Three and
you're
months.
Literally, it's so intense. You're spending every minute with those people. Like, you work so hard for the coaches as well, working so hard behind the scenes to make sure everything is as good as it can be. And then all of a sudden, it's done. Like, that final whistle goes and you're like, right, back to normal life. Do you know what I mean? Whatever that might be. And I think it just humanises, like, how much emotional investment there is into the whole process and how much... it actually like weighs on you a little bit until you come out of it.
Mm. That's interesting because Mitch said that there would be reviews the following day. He even said it after the final game. I was like, Mitch, just give it a rest.
What's the song? What's the song?
I tried to say about this song before, but it's...
There'll be no one-to-ones in the morning. We basically just sang that repeatedly.
One-to-ones!
We just sang that repeatedly on the bus on the way back.
We did it in WXB as well, and I was like, girls, girls, what's that song? Can't remember it. And then, like, we progress it to, like, we are not running in our off week.
There's no running in the schedule next week, is there?
But basically, we just kept going with it, and WXB, I don't think they took it so well, but we didn't really care. Like, Sense was kind of giving us the eye, like, I think you should stop now. But we were just, we were full ham going in on it. Like, anything that happened through the week, we were making it into a song, and then you'd finish everyone with one-to-ones, and then somebody else would chirp up. But they actually cancelled
them. And then they cancelled them.
We got Jules to sing. Mitch's wife was singing along with it, and then I think that was...
That was the tipping point.
Yeah.
I feel like Jules really is the leverage here.
We love Jules.
Get her on board.
Come on, Jules.
But no, they're going to happen in clubs, which I also think is probably a better thing because no one's had time to watch the game back.
And also, I mean? Like, for not just for us, because we always think about it from us, but from the coaches as well. They've got to sit in probably, 10-plus meetings each time because they get split into groups. They've all had a drink the night before. We've all had a long travel. Everybody wants to go home. Like, there's definitely better times. So I think Mitch realised that and everyone was buzzing.
Yeah.
Okay, well, let's treat this like a tiny, very lightweight one-to-one. Mitch said when he started, there was a divorce between the forwards and the backs, and we've managed to merge that quite nicely. I thought the choice of the word divorce was really interesting, especially considering what you're saying now about this having just been the most fun Six Nations and the setup for it to just have really merged and come together and feel cohesive. This was a very backs-heavy tournament, except for the final game, where we saw the forwards really stepping up and showing off. Maud Meir, Alex Matthews, Marley Packer, Amy Cocaine on the scoreboard. Meg Jones, really the only one from the backs who got on there alongside Holly with all the conversions. But that game was really interesting off the back of the other ones that you guys had in this campaign.
I think for me, though, the forwards have had an unbelievable tournament. Like, I know Ellie Kildon has been on fire and I'm not taking anything away from her, but arguably, player of the match probably could have gone to forwards in at least two of those. Like, Ireland at Twickenham, yeah, Ellie Kildon, what did she beat? Like, 17 defenders? That is unbelievable. But I think the ones before that, the reason that we're able to merge that gap is because we have such good go-forward ball. We've got forwards attacking the line, then pulling it out the back and holding, sitting down defenders to allow us to create that space on the edges. And I don't think we've been talked up enough about that from what our forwards have done, both going forward and also like in the loose and their handling ability, which is the difference for me because they've always been unreal at like... going to the line, pulling out the back. Like what Skaz did at the weekend for that try, Alex's, that second phase. Like, we've got so many backs that can do that, but actually our forwards are now being encouraged to play like that as well, and I love that.
I'd say we were like on a break rather than a divorce, maybe. Oh,
separation. A trial separation.
Yeah.
Not fully divorced.
Yeah.
But no, also, it never works when you come back from a break.
Well, hey, sometimes it does. Sometimes it does.
I was going to say, at this stage, it looks like a very happy union. I mean, I'm thinking like a late stage baby might just happen here. Things are goodness. Really good. It's popping off. We do have to also, I know you're really positive and complimentary about the forwards, but we have to give a big old yay for the work that you guys have done between scrum half and fly half, that playmaker role. Charlie Morgan in the Telegraph, did you see his story yesterday?
No.
Oh, you'll have a little tear.
Oh, really?
There's a really nice tribute to you. It says, at 35, Hunt has invaluable know-how. More valuable to Mitchell, though, has been her palpable desire to prove a point. Along the way, her versatility as scrum half has ushered in this new era.
How mad are you mentioned your age?
Two things on that. But I'll come back. The age was going to be one of the things. Do you know what? Like,
she's 25, Charlie. Don't you know?
Everyone brings the age into it. And I just think I feel as good as I've ever felt, like playing wise in terms of fitness, like still in the gym, PBing weekly on my
jumps. Tell them, Mo.
Do you know what I mean? But like, I hate the age conversation because I feel like as soon as you get to a certain point, people try and write you off a little bit with it. But I kind of heard what you said about Scuzzy on the last week as well.
You kind of heard?
Right, yeah. I rang her and I was like, how do you feel about that? Because I do understand it and I understand the conversation around it, and like injuries and everything's always going to play a part. But actually, we're in a day and age now where there's so much support around you for how you look after your body. And I don't even look after mine that well, let's be honest. But
Mo.
No, I'm joking. I do. But I just think like the age conversation for me, like I don't think it should come into it, because for me, it's about how you perform and how you play.
Yeah.
And if you can do it like we are.
Judge me on my PBs.
Judge me on what I'm doing on the pitch. Don't worry about my age.
Okay. I want to talk about how Scuzzy feels about what we've said about her behind her back.
Yeah.
And I'll check if she listened. But first, Sage does the stat tracking on the championship, and there was this great stat that you are the fastest passer of the championship.
Did you know about that stat?
I actually did know about that. I was buzzing.
34.5.
We were sat in bed one day.
Don't, because you make me sound so bad. No, but I never. Right, before she goes into this, like I would never really blow my trumpet about anything. I actually am so awkward now. I can't believe it.
You are the rugby on here. Come on.
It's just awkward, isn't it? Go on, you go.
So we were sat, it was
right of reply.
Sat in bed one evening, was it, before we went to bed. She basically was like, oh, Scuzzy. She's like, I passed the ball 20 miles an hour. I was like, what are you on about? She's like, I've just been tagged in this thing and it's like, and it's in kilometres an hour, so I converted it to miles per hour. That's 20 miles an hour.
No one knows kilometres an hour, do you know what I mean? Just
to be fair.
Sorry.
I don't know what a mile is.
Not this side of the pond, we don't.
Yeah.
And then I said to her, I was like, oh, is it ranked the other nines? And she was like, yeah. And I was like, are you at the top? She went, yeah.
I was buzzing. No, I was really happy with that.
Okay, so back to Scuzzy's feelings about how we talk about her. Would you like to settle the scores?
I mean, Mo called me about it because she'd listened.
Sorry, I was a little bit, I was a little bit sad for you, wasn't I?
She's like, mate, have you listened to last week's pod? I was like, yeah. She's like, are you bothered? I was like, no. She's like, oh, you don't care about anything, do you? That was her exact words.
She said people will talk, and I said, yeah, I do get that. We're just so different with how we think about stuff.
But
like that.
It's like, it's one of those things. As soon as you get to a certain age that's considered older, that's part of the lead with any story that happens. As soon as you've had big injuries, that's part of the lead when you've come back. I think from my point of view, this was all just about trying to get back playing rugby. I was obviously frustrated that the next seat was not the problem. It was a different issue. I'm more frustrated than anybody. I was just grateful to actually get out there at some point. Obviously, our bodies do creak a little bit more than, you know, a whippersnapper, but that is also life. And also, our whippersnappers have issues as well. Do you know what I mean? It's just one of those things. Like, fundamentally, if you're playing international rugby, you should be good to go, whether you're 21 or a bit older.
A bit. Just a bit.
Just wasn't good at hours again.
Just a few years.
Imagine being that, like, I don't know, being able to compartmentalise things like that, though. My life would be so different. Wouldn't it?
But that's
just the way you talk about that. You're just like, bosh, yeah, this is it, yeah.
Just
No emotion. Flatline. Love it.
But we do have to talk about her because her name is also, you know, in the pod.
Yeah,
so,
God, yeah.
Yeah, like, exactly.
Oh, no, I completely see and appreciate where everything's come from. Mm. Like, I do understand it and I do get it, but I just think sometimes it gets brought up more. Like, I don't think my age, I was 34 last year. I don't think it ever got talked about, but now I'm 35 and doing all right. It's the thing. Do you know what I mean?
But it's because I'm older than you. And when I was 35, I would never have been able to maintain the level of performance that you're maintaining. It's a bit like the Abby Ward thing. We're all just looking at her going,
mad, yeah.
How is she doing that?
So
you're playing some of the best rugby we've ever seen you play. You're better than ever. And I think that is the best
compliment.
Proof, but it's also the best proof that you can get the rewards if you put in the work and that there is nothing you can't come back from.
Yeah, 100%. I think just on that as well, like, I've always been like this. Like, I don't think there's more drive in me now to try and prove a point and prove, like, I've always wanted to be the best I can be.
Yeah.
But I don't think I've ever had, since probably 2017, 2014, I don't think I've ever had that consistency to be able to go after it and do it. And I'm genuinely so grateful for, like, obviously it's nice to be sat on this side of it, but the consistency that they've given us as a squad, I can't remember a time where we've ever had that as an England squad. And I just think the way that we've built through the tournament is huge credit to that and the value that they've put in that shirt and the trust that they've given players to go and do a job. And I've got full respect for it. Like, obviously, it's easier to say when you've got a lot of time and it's been a good tournament for us, but yeah.
So Katie Daly-McLean wasn't just on the show every week giving her thoughts on how the two of you were playing. She was also doing Team of the Week. She has now made that leap from being your mate and being in your team to being in our team, us being the media.
Yeah, I mean, she would never sidestep an issue when... even when she wasn't any part of the media with her friends or her colleagues. So I don't think anything has changed from that point of view. She's always been pretty upfront with how she feels about certain things. So no, I think she's been clash. How good, she's been so good at the comms role. Obviously loved her having on here. She also loved being here. We need to get her back on more regularly, I think. She did great.
Respect to KDM. Respect also, speaking of things that happened this championship, our fantasy game was lit.
Was it good?
Lit.
Okay, I'm such a millennial. I'm such a millennial. There we go.
Get it, girl.
She's giving away her age.
Get it, girl. Turns out, fire.
It turns out she's basically 40.
Our fantasy game was lit. Yours?
It was, Nick Heath did not win.
Did he not? Who did?
Tommy Rockets, who works in our commercial team. Tommy, shout out to you. We are so proud of you for beating Nick Heath. If anyone can do better than Nick in a fantasy game on the women's game, on the women's Six Nations, basically you've hacked it.
Get him in here.
Impressive. Where did you come?
I think I came fourth or fifth.
Decent.
Out of how many?
Out of how many?
We're like 20, but I did win round four. So I feel like at least I topped the log at
Wait,
some point.
Was that because Ellie Kildan got like quadruple points of anyone else?
I would like to thank Ellie Kildan for her contribution.
Surely everyone was captaining her though. Surely.
Speaking of great performance, it's time for our High Flyer of the Week segment brought to you by our good friends at British Airways. On the socials, we gave you the option of one, Maud Mir, played 80 minutes, set the tone, got over the line in the first five, deliriously tired after the game. The woman with the mini bags, oh my goodness.
How funny.
Oh, stop.
Added value content there, guys. That little picture of baby Maud with all of the little bags.
I've got three more that I can show you after.
Oh, she is
it's
my best.
So good.
Working with Nathan Catt, the RFU's Scrum Pathways coach, who was drafted in to help the teams throughout their campaign. Props to Maud. Number two, Alex Matthews. Do we need to say anything more? Alex, in this last round.
In every round, I'll be honest.
In every round.
But especially.
She thinks she's had a mediocre tournament as well.
She's a joke.
Sorry, but yeah, just let that one lie for a minute.
That's imposter syndrome if I've ever heard
madness.
It.
I think as well, like that last game really shows like your biggest, best players come to the fore in the biggest, toughest games.
Yeah.
Like she was doing that in all the others, but maybe not grabbing headlines. Whereas like it really matters in games like that.
And yeah, two of her turnovers, arguably match winning moments.
She's mega.
Mega.
And then speaking of mega, Megan Jones.
Oh, nice. I like what you did there.
Lit.
Oh, I'm never going to live this down.
No.
That intercept try had us screaming at the TV because it was just so beautiful. Heading back into GB7s now because she hasn't been great enough value as it is. Can't wait for that fantasy game. Can someone please start it up? And AK, who didn't make it in this week for the first time, heading also to the GB7 squad. Her kit is still clean.
How funny was that?
What?
Did you see Meg was chatting to Ashley at the end of the game?
Yeah.
And she basically got asked something about Ellie and she was like, yeah, she thinks she's a bit fuming this game because her kit's still clean. She hasn't really done much.
Meow.
Wait, Meg said that. Yeah.
Of course Meg said that. Savage. So, High Flyer of the Week, your choice?
Oh, it's got to be Al, hasn't it?
Yeah. I think Maud's are very close.
Yeah.
And Meg. But I think Al was mega.
Alex Matthews, take a bow. You are our High Flyer of the Week. Thanks again to our friends at British Airways. To feel inspired for your next adventure, head to ba.com. Now,
I have a story.
Okay.
I also have a story.
Okay. Story time, post-tour. Who would like to start? I've got stories.
You know what mine is, so you decide whether you want me to go first or you go first.
I'll go
first.
Because
I don't actually know what you're... Okay.
So we, Did you talk about this beforehand?
No.
Why are you getting props?
Because I need to read it. You'll understand why. Basically, obviously, we did a show mid-tournament, wasn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Where a lot of Moisms, as they're now affectionately known, came out with the whole Palmer, champagne, etc.
Yeah.
And last night, I received a text from Mo's gran.
God, oh, avid listener
of the pod. Loves
Barb
it.
Barb 414.
Yeah. Barb Hunt.
Who She's says, not Hunt. Right.
Oh, sorry, Barb Wright. Sorry. She's saved in my phone as Barb Hunt.
No, that's weird.
Yeah, sorry. It's just so I know who she is. I've got a lot of Barbs.
Barb from the Hunts.
No, you haven't got a lot of Barbs.
No, I
that
have.
Sums you up. No, sorry, that sums you up. Are they Barbs or are they Barbaras? And who are they? Get them up now. Get them up now, Skaz.
We want prove receipts.
It. I want to see how many Barbs are in your phone. What are you lying for?
All I thought was my grandma's called Barbara, but she's obviously in his grandma, not Barbara. Anyway.
What other Barbs do you
anyway.
Know?
Right. So I receive a text from Mo's gran, Barb. First of all, congratulations. But we wanted to share this beautiful Moism with you.
Oh.
Mo was here last week with Auntie Karen, who has asked about the name of a yellowish bird in her garden. We worked out it was a blue tit, as it has a yellow chest and a blue head.
I don't even know what's coming.
Also, it made me smile. So you, it made me smile. Your grandpa see pictures in books. As if I wouldn't know what a blue tit was. Anyway.
Sorry, but I didn't even get mocked at the time for this.
We fell about when Mo insisted that a blue tit has to have a blue chest, as it's called a blue tit.
I don't get it.
Because it's just yellow.
Yeah, but why is it not called a yellow tit? That was my point. That was literally my point. Wait, I don't understand how you're mocking me. I don't get it.
Do you know what a blue tit looks like? We've had snorting.
Oh my gosh, Mo.
Why? Like, literally, can somebody explain the joke? Because I am so lost right now.
Its head is blue.
And why is it not called a blue head?
Well, because its tits are yellow. Should we call it yellow?
Like, pick one. Blue head, yellow breast. breast. I was trying to be more professional. I can't breathe.
Wow.
Cheers, Graham.
Cheers, Graham.
Barbara, right, we love you. That. Thank you for sharing that contribution with us.
The were you
should have gotten second because my
there were a few others over the course, but none of them are going to top that. So
nothing is going to top the yellow breast.
I still don't really understand why.
It's okay, Mo. I don't think you ever will.
Like, it's just how my logical brain works. I don't get it.
It's quite literal.
Not logical, literal, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's logical. It's the same thing. It's got a blue head. Do you tie your hat up to make you feel better?
From lit to tit, and then next. Where are we going with this?
To the bits. Okay. No, I'm joking. Right, so basically, we were in the Lensbury, so this was pre-Ireland game. And we were all allowed to leave camp. I say allowed, like it was prison, but it wasn't. We were allowed to leave camp that day. So pre-match, we all had to pack our bags, put our bags in our cars. Then we, like, obviously went into our pre-match meetings and everything and then went off. So just before we're about to go to play the game, Skazzy's like, oh, I'm just going to take all this to my car. No worries, mate. So she went down with all her bags. And then she comes back up and she was like, you are never going to believe what's just happened. And I was like, right, go on. Thinking, like, she's dropped her bag somewhere or whatever. Basically, there's two girls downstairs and they were like, one of them was like, Emily Scarrett, oh, can we have a photo, please? Can we have a photo? So, like, Skaz is like, yeah, of course. Like,
no, it didn't happen in that order.
Right, go on then.
So, basically, I've turned the corner walking back into the hotel.
I think my version, like, would have been better, but carry on.
Bumped into them as such, so we couldn't see each other until we turned the corner. The two girls, and one girl went, oh, Emily! And then turned. I assume it was her partner, but I don't know for definite. It might have been her friend. Turned and went, this is the hall pass to her mate. Like, immediately, no other words were said. She's like, this is the hall pass. And I was like, and then continued as if that was just fine and all normal and just went, can we have a picture? And I was like, yeah,
So she just posed for this photo and then come back upstairs and was like, mate, it was so weird. I'm sure you probably listened to the pod if she is the hall pass. So yeah. Not mocking yeah. you. No, just not mocking. It was brilliant.
Funny.
You are the hall pass.
I'm the hall pass.
So good. And I was Who knew? To be fair though, I didn't know what that was. But huh? neither did a few people in the room, can I say,
hall
just
pass?
To...
Everyone know what a hall pass is?
Shira didn't
know.
Either.
Who didn't?
Yeah, thank you, Faith.
Who didn't know what a hall pass
Me
is?
And Shira.
Entire
Shira.
Production crew.
I just think that we're probably like... I don't know.
No.
I'm going to go
No. No.
How does it make you feel to be someone's hall pass?
I don't know.
But Skaz explained it as somebody famous that you have like...
No. Give over.
How, yes, that's how you explained it?
No.
How did you explain it to
I think
me?
I literally, because you didn't
I'm
know, I literally
you.
Googled it and read the Google thing out.
Yeah, which is
I can't remember.
Someone famous. Mm.
Someone you just get a free pass with, basically.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, Madness. It's not cheating if it's this person.
Yeah.
Yeah, and Skaz is that for somebody.
It's
probably
not cheating.
Multiple. We just bumped into one of them.
And she said it.
Don't let us know.
Audibly.
Bring your signs with your white chocolate and let us know.
And croissants, a bag of croissants.
How many of you are out there? I would love to know.
The good, the scares and the hall pass. There we go.
That's me.
She got it.
Nice.
She got it.
Funny.
Who's hall pass? Who has Hunty as their hall pass?
No.
That's what we'd like to know.
Don't, because no one will reply.
We loved getting up close and personal with the families over the last Women's Six Nations. I heard the greatest story that Katie Daly McLean shared about seeing Ellie Kildan's parents joining in with the cowboy salute that a bunch of fans were doing. And at the end of it, Ellie Kildan's parents were also just doing a little cowboy
Brilliant.
Move.
That's cool.
And your parents, Yvonne and Mark, came up onto stage for our live show at the Cabbage Patch.
Got it, I missed that.
How were they?
Were they
good for you?
They were lovely. Did you not hear that you are their favourite?
I did hear that, yeah.
Yeah,
buzzing.
Katie texted me on the way down and was like, are your parents coming today? And I was like, oh, I'm not sure. Farm dramas, it's not stopped raining since flipping November.
Yeah.
So I wasn't sure if Dad would be able to make it.
A little life into Emily Scott.
Yeah, the other world. So I wasn't sure if they'd be able to make it or not. She was like, oh, God, I wanted to get your dad up on stage. So then when I heard they were coming, I was like, oh, no. Bless them.
They were so good. They looked really prepped and ready for it.
Did they?
Yeah, Katie must have prepped them because they were so ready to go. I heckled your dad a little bit in the crowd and then he was just really up for it. And I was like, come on then.
So good.
They were just absolutely full value. So when you say farm drama, what does that mean?
Basically, it's just not stopped raining. So when they did try and plant the crop back in the autumn, they weren't able to put it in or it got washed out or it died.
Aww.
So then you wait for the spring crop, but the spring is also just not stopped raining. So they've
not
been able to physically get on the field.
Yeah.
So they managed to blast it out over the weekend. They weren't able to come to France, but then it's also rained again. So whether it stays there or not, who knows? Yeah.
Gosh.
Real life.
Mother Nature.
Yeah.
Drums.
And then speaking of Mother Nature, Helen Spriggs from Newbury gave us a rose hat.
Saw that. I wondered where that had come from.
With our faces on it.
Do we still have it?
Thank you so much, Helen. I'm sorry, Helen. We have also somehow... the last picture we have of the hat, Aziza Hele was wearing it. And then the trail goes cold.
The videos I received from that evening, or we received from that evening, I have not surprised one bit that that hat is not still in someone's possession.
Yes.
You lot look like you're having fun.
I had my own New Year's Eve party, as I said, and Shira and I were horrified to learn afterwards that when we were having our New Year's Eve party and we were on the stage and I was headbanging, Karen Ormond somehow was also in that space.
Brilliant.
And she has commented twice on our Facebook page.
Did you meet her or you didn't know it was, you were too...
I must have blazed past her
at
some point.
There's too much motion.
There was a lot of movement. And now I'm horrified at the thought that she saw us in full flight like that.
And that's her only
she
living memory of you.
She probably respects you more for it.
Well, I really think that she might. 100% because
will.
She still commented on us on our Facebook page.
100%.
I do kind of want to send her Shira's number and just say, here's the hotline. Just whenever you have a thought, whenever you have input,
100%,
you know.
God, yeah.
We'd love to just give you the direct. It's a bit like we have Faith here. I know people can't see her, but we actually have someone on set today watching the show happen live. Because she bid in the Gary Street auction. And we're so impressed that anyone wanted to come down and sit in on this. It's usually as carnage, and 90% of it isn't even useful. But she, at this stage, she's not sleeping or yawning from what I've seen, so we're good. But Karen Almond, if you are watching this, Shara is the one who's doing the roly-polies in the Cabbage Patch.
Really? On the,
yeah. To what song? How did you find room?
Well, there was a lot of movement. She did a few very high kicks, and she did also tap dance in her trainers.
Brilliant.
In her green top.
I'm gutting
her
green, stick,
in her green jumpsuit. Mm. She was the green Irish person doing the high kicks.
It was noted, yeah.
There was a lot. So I have loved the content that you guys served. I actually wanted to give you an extra medal today.
Hat? Yeah, I know.
Did you like the hat content? That was some of my best work this year.
Very good.
Only work.
The only thing you did.
The only thing. Yeah.
But you have been serving.
I try. Thank you.
You have been serving.
Thank you.
Both on your own channels.
Don't mind it. You hated it. Don't mind it. I'll take it.
Enjoyed that. You've been serving not only on your own channels and on your close friends' channels, but also on the official England channels, the shiniest legs the world ever did see.
What was wrong with them? Honestly. Sorry, but I also had K-tape on one of them. So like when you get a dead leg, you get those wiggly lines put on. And genuinely this shininess like didn't have the wig. Oh, it's a terrible story. Basically had these wiggles all down my leg as well from where I ripped off the K-tape. Mm. Terrible.
No shine.
No shine. No shine on that bit, but everything else was shiny as.
Yeah, it's very Frankfurt-y.
Living up to my name. Guys, I've literally been called Frankfurt so many times. This Six Nations, so where people were shouting at me in the crowds and that. There was one lady in Scotland. I can't remember what she said, but I went, oh, fuck off. But I was joking. I said it like in a jokey way. She took it well.
I love that people bring Molly Packer.
It was the Swiss cheese one. That was the one that landed
the Swiss
more.
Cheese,
but
I still
don't know if that's like legit or not.
It is legit, I promise. Perfect.
This could be a whole segment in itself, couldn't it?
Yeah. This week on Is This a Food or a Place?
Oh my God, can we
food place
do
or both?
That?
Macaroni.
I don't actually want to play. I don't like the game.
I don't like it anymore.
I don't like the game.
I love how Molly Packer gets bored.
I think just
pints
food.
And you are getting heckled for Swiss cheese.
Yeah, yeah, very good. No, it was awesome. There's a lot of love that was coming off the back of Mrs.
So
Frankfurt, to be fair. So sorry about my shiny sausage legs. But no, really enjoyed it. Girls were proper good value.
How good was she as hosting?
So good.
I mean,
live as
yeah.
well.
Yeah.
And your little AirPod in. So yep. What are they saying to you on the little
I couldn't
AirPod?
Hear anything, to be honest. I think I kept missing my links and everything else. It was terrible. But no, it was good fun. Like, I really enjoyed it. Obviously, even more respect for you after. Every time I do it, I'm like, I don't know how you're so good at what you do. And I tried to link a couple. There was one where I was like, speaking of, you know how you like link stuff really well? I tried to do one and I was like, yeah, so speaking of, and then I went, I can't even link that. So I'm just going to go on to my next question that's written here. Like genuinely had to just like style it out.
Didn't give you lit, tits and bits. So the problem is like, it's really hard to do the linking thing.
Yeah, true. Yeah. Very true.
Because you're such a
Did
good
Did they
value.
Give you lit bits and tits? I'm not even sure. If they did, I wasn't aware.
Do you know what cracked me up the most out of the Six Nations of our content that we put out is the cat meme. The cat meme review.
I did see
what
that.
The chuff was that?
How much did you love that? Be honest.
Do you know that everyone thinks
did you poke,
I made
Did you
that.
Make Sam do that?
I didn't make anyone do anything.
Did you love it though? How much did you love it?
I have watched.
I was going to say how many times you watched.
Of the 30,000 views it has now, I'm definitely at least 10,000. I've just had it on repeat the whole time because it makes me laugh every time I watch it.
It was very good.
But just full disclaimer, Rosie Galligan genuinely thought it was me. She commented and said,
we
just checking you're okay, Elma. And I was like, no, Sam made this. Sam and our team is genius.
Do you know what the most amazing thing is sometimes? Some people think that we're responsible for some of the social media that goes out on the channels. And it's videos like that that makes
Snickers
everyone go.
Snickers in the background on that, by the way.
Yeah, no.
Wait, that's not Scarrett.
No, yeah, no, nothing to do with them. Yeah,
it's
no.
definitely not Emily Scarrett. Now, speaking of places where you have special insight, Ireland, you have many Irish teammates over there in Glos. What have you heard from them? Are they still on it? Because they scored probably one of the victories, I feel like, in the last 5 years of the Women's Six Nations, 15-12 over Scotland, that was nail-biter stuff all the way through, but especially in that last 10. And I saw a picture. So behind me here is the Irish girls with their big qualified Rugby World Cup 2025 sign. I saw a picture of that out on the town.
They're loose.
Are they still loose humans?
Yeah, I think so, yeah. I think there's a day three going on. Genuinely, yeah. It's just awesome to see for them. I think, obviously, not qualifying for the last World Cup, to be able to do it now and in that fashion is amazing.
They came
super happy for them.
Sixth in last year's Women's Six Nations, wooden spoonists.
Mad.
And this shows you how much happens in women's rugby in a year. Because we think, oh, you know, like, it's not moving enough. The gap isn't closing quickly enough. There isn't enough growth and development. How long is it going to take for people to catch up to England? Well, France showed that they're in that game in a big way, but also all of the other teams showed how quickly things can turn bad or good, ask Wales. And Ireland have shown that you can not go to the World Cup, play against Kazakhstan and Colombia in WXV3, and come into this championship and fight it out and land third, which is best of the rest. And considering where Scotland are, considering where Wales were last year and some of the things that Italy did during this championship, that is objectively just very impressive. How have they done it?
Kicking. They've kicked, like, Dana O'Brien has
kicked
the
ball. Dana has been very good.
So much. Like, it's all, like, possession and territory are massive in the women's game. Do you know what I mean? And they've got a lot of youngsters coming through who have a lot of potential, but obviously being able to, like, have a little bit more structure around that of, this is where we want to play the game and going after that. And then obviously executing it.
And physicality. Didn't they have the best tackle dominance stat leading into the last round as any team, apparently?
Yeah, definitely. I think also a shout out, like, Scotland nearly beat France. So we're talking about, like, best of the rest, but actually there's still results in that teams can go up against any team and they can prove that they're right in it. Mm. And I think that's massive.
I do think it opens up, I know you guys spoke about it last week, a good debate on the whole WXV situation. For me, it's almost like, what feeds what? Because obviously the Six Nations is the Six Nations, Pac Four is the Pac Four. They are their things, they will always be their things. But the WXV3 winners are now going to be playing in one. And the WXV2 winners are in two. And I'm not saying it should be the other way around, but I just think it's, should more emphasis be put on this world league that obviously it needs time to develop and it will be tinkered and all of that sort of stuff. But should that be the moving piece rather than some of the other bits? Because I feel like there's some huge jumps going on.
Mm.
But then is that reflective of the change that can happen within a year? And therefore it's exactly right because things will move a lot.
Yeah.
It just, like, logically it seems.
Are you saying you
big.
Should only be able to graduate one tier at a time? That there should
I don't
be
know
a
what I'm saying.
Barrier,
I just
then.
Think I just think it's
no go and have an opinion.
No, I just don't know. I just think, like, it just seems because Ireland have deserved it, so they do deserve to be in one.
And that's the thing. Their federation will definitely not step up now and say our girls are not ready for WXV1.
Yeah.
Not considering the history.
But then objectively, you stand back and you look at the Twickenham scoreline, and yes, like, there was a lot of other facets that was not Ireland's best game, but they're going to be playing that five times over in WXV1. Three times over, sorry.
And if last year's WXV shows us anything, it's that winning is a habit and it's momentum that builds that opportunity to keep winning.
100%.
So how much more damage would it do for them to go to Canada over going to Cape Town?
I just think it's a really interesting debate and I think it's something that will go on for a little while. And I do think the WXVs, they need to be continually looked at and, like you say, what is the best for these nations in these things to get the best competition?
But if anyone could do anything now, it would have to be the players. If anyone stood up now and said, we want to do the adult thing here and play in WXV2, that would have to be player-led. That couldn't come from anywhere else.
No. Yeah. I don't think you ever would.
No, you wouldn't as a player.
But I do also think, like, WXV's in, what, 6 months, for the sake of argument? Like, again, the development will continue to go on. They're on a full-time program. They're doing this, they're doing that. I think it will keep growing.
I think it'll be really interesting to see, though. Like, then where they come in that.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But you know what? I was watching the game with producer Shira on the train, and you know what she said? She said, these girls like Aoife Wafer and Dan O'Brien, they don't have the scars. Mm. They don't know that they shouldn't be winning and beating all of these teams. They come into it, they play the game, and they don't have nearly as much of that baggage that a lot of the more experienced girls have coming into really big games. And they're also 20 and 21, at which age I genuinely thought that, you know, like I could take over the world, which is probably the best advertisement for that youthful inexperience also having a plus.
100%. And the reverse, obviously, is Wales, who could now be playing in WXV3, dependent on how that playoff game goes.
Yeah.
I don't necessarily have an opinion. I just think it's there's a lot of going on at the moment.
She's just sad that she can't go for coffee with her Scottish friends now. That's what this is all boiling down to.
What kind of... Have you been a good supporter friend to them?
So good. We did FaceTime on... What night was it? Saturday night. Like Nels, Waz, Scotty, Siebes. And they were like full night out. Glam as, own clothes, looking fantastic. Ooh. And we were
fantastic.
Like, hair still wet, England white t-shirt on, looking terrible.
No,
I had
white.
A massive Disaronno and Coke stain down mine. Mo had half a bottle of wine down hers.
No, like, it was
we
tragic.
We looked terror. Because we weren't going out, we were just staying in the hotel. They were all like, why do you look like that? We were like, what do you mean? I'd like check ourselves. We're like, oh yeah.
Sounds
but no, they're, like, they're really sad, obviously. Mainly sad because they didn't feel like they gave it a good crack. They didn't give, they gave their best performance and were beaten by a better team. I think you can, it's not easy, but you can live with that, where they just didn't feel they put their best game out there. And obviously the ramifications are decent.
Now, we were in Wales just doing a little pre-game before the Wales-Italy game on Saturday morning. Little brunch, very civilised, nothing like the cabbage patch and the rolling bogies. It was very, very, very adult. And we had Gwen Crabb on the panel along with Philippa Tatier. So lots of scenes, but also great insight, along with Bryony King. And Gwenny decided to divulge that because their game kicked off at 12:15 and Cecilia Tupulotu is their head platter, she realized that they wouldn't be able to get through all the plats on Saturday morning. So plats had to be done on Friday night and people had to sleep with their plats in. So she then put a whole tutorial on their group WhatsApp. Here are five ways to ensure your plats stay in overnight. Down with a little t-shirt that you have to knot in a certain way. She did a whole, I mean, short of like and subscribe and follow my channel, it was all in there. And then we were looking at these Welsh plats and they were not the way that they usually are. I have to say there were a few of them that were pretty much all over the place. And by like 25 minutes in, a few people, I mean, Alex Callender's hair always looks like she's like a bit like Marley come out of the washing machine. But I mean, she's in the washing machine half the time. The plats did not hold up well for the overnight. So I think we do need to look at our scheduling and how we fit in our plats around that.
It's so
such
hard.
A stress. It is genuinely, like, I don't think people
hair
appreciate it.
Hair needs to become a staff member on the team. Can you?
I can upside down, inverse, French plait my hair all the way around my head.
Prove it.
Well, I will do it next time. But I just go, have you not had long hair your whole life? And have you not been playing sport your whole life? Like, what happened here?
I haven't got the time to practice the skill. No. I'm gonna use my age because I can.
At 35,
no,
you
can't
prioritize this.
At 35, I don't know.
Please
if
don't
I need...
mention my age. It's because I'm 35. I just will not learn a loose skill.
I'm playing.
You've not prioritized this.
But it is genuinely no I haven't. You are right, but it is a real stress.
Do you know what? Those French girls. It's not called a French plait for nothing.
They're very good at them.
They. Oh my gosh, they looked sensational.
They're like full facelifts on them, haven't they?
Genuinely, I was like, I want one of them to do this for me because I could do with
proper
more
job.
Of what was happening there. It was very impressive. So yeah, the Welsh girls, unfortunately, they had day before here, but they played out of their skins towards the end of that game. They saw the target and they just chased it down. I think Clakey George and that 50-22 that she put up.
Mega.
I feel like that there were 10,000 people in the stands and we were all on the one side of the pitch. And I feel like everyone's hope swelled in that moment. It had such a huge effect, I think, on the mentality of that whole group. Mm-hmm. Just seeing her do stuff like that fuels everyone's fire. Georgia Evans posted a picture of herself walking around afterwards in a sport bra holding up, there's only one Clakey George, like a big poster that a fan had brought in. And she was just waving it around. And I thought that's talismanic. Mm-hmm. That's what you need in a game like that, where you are literally fighting for your life as a team.
Like small moments make huge differences, don't they? And that was such a big point in that game. Excuse me. Do you know, I'm really glad that they scored and that Georgia Evans try that was disallowed because we'd already blown the whistle wasn't a factor in them not winning that game because that would have been pretty terrible.
Yeah.
Properly heartbreaking. So yeah, I'm really glad they went on and did it. Clarkie had to kick the conversion as well to make sure that they actually went into the lead. So a lot of things I think that perhaps earlier in the tournament had been really rocky for them, they managed to get a grip of and come away with a win.
How much of a difference do you think playing in the Principality made? I don't know how much of the atmosphere translated on TV, but for us sitting in the stands, the anthem was sung like that place was, it felt like the place was packed just by the amount of noise generated by all the fans. And the players stood facing this incredibly packed stand and people were belting it out. But then also just the cheers and the wails just ringing out felt really powerful. It genuinely felt like the crowd carried them, especially in the later stages of that game. Now, you said even though Bordeaux was a smaller stadium, because it was packed, it just felt really intense. The Principality is a much bigger arena, so 10,000 people doesn't fill it, but that's still a record crowd by literally 2,000. So it is notable that they were playing in that big house and they put on a performance that felt crucial and a bit like a watershed after a disappointing campaign.
Yeah, massively.
They'll have like really wanted to go and perform there as well. Like that's the home ground of that union. So any opportunity you get to play it there, you will have wanted to go and do the very best. Obviously the crowd they got was amazing, but then going out and putting a performance on there, they're like, you know, they've got a win there. They've got a one from nothing win, which is really important, I think, to the record of being in that place. And also when you think about wanting to be back there as often as possible and putting on, you know, reasons for the WRU for them to be there, having a win against the name is I think, really important.
100%. And to do it in that manner as well, I think, for the crowd in, obviously...
It's like tense, wasn't it?
So tense. Yeah. Like, we were obviously watching in the build-up because we didn't have to get ready to leave for a while. So managed to watch pretty much the whole game and all the girls were super invested in what was going on. And to win like that, like Sis going over, just brilliant.
Now, let's just quickly rattle through the fact that the Allianz Cup also happened this weekend. I mean, I know it was super Saturday, but Saracens beat Bristol 31-17 at Shaftesbury Park. Congratulations to them. Just want to give Sonic her flowers. Sonia Green, last game in a Saracens shirt, having pulled it on, over 300.
Unbelievable.
It's 329, is it? Yeah.
That is
unbelievable contribution to the game. Like, ridiculous.
Yeah.
Played England A's, England Sevens, to keep herself in that nick for that long.
Yeah.
It's a joke.
I mean, that's brilliant. An inspiration for... Yeah.
100%. And also what I love about her and her story as well is she works at the school down the road and like the inspiration that she's given all of those kids as well to see her do it for that amount of time and to be really invested. And I know there's a really good link, really strong link now with Saracens as a club as well. And I just think that's brilliant.
She'll be the sort of person as well in about 6 months' time, you'll hear of some ridiculous charity challenge that she's doing that is just a joke.
Times three. Yeah.
Watch this space. Heard it here first.
Yeah. And then we'll all turn up with our Sonic masks and all of the coloured wigs.
I love what they did for her as well. Like, obviously you can see how much it means to the girls to celebrate her, because she will have been through so many people's careers through that Saracens team and been part of it. And the way that she is as a person as well, she will have impacted every single player because that's what she's like as a teammate and as a person. And I just think fair play to her. It's awesome to see the way the girls have gone after it and celebrated her as well. And she's a very humble person, so she would have hated it. But also I think hopefully in time she'll be able to sit back and reflect on how much impact she's had on so many people through that setup and through England A and everywhere else as well.
Congratulations, Sonic.
100%.
We can't wait to see what you do next. PWR, speaking of things you do next and dun, no pressure.
Dun.
I mean, I don't even know. How are you even emotionally ready to have this conversation yet? Because you've just
can't
come
wait.
Out
Who said
of
we
this
are?
Weekend.
I can't wait.
Is this the real battle?
I saw the Glasgow's yesterday. Yeah, I can't wait.
Almost said to me is, I'm staying Sunday night and we're going out in Nottingham.
That's the information
I've
had
from
her. And then we'll come to the pod from there.
Oh, yes.
Are we podding?
Yeah, Monday.
It's going to be fun. So the 12th of May, Gloucester Hartbury against Loughborough Lightning. I actually got a message from someone on Instagram who wants to bring you guys a gift.
Is it croissants?
It's not croissants, but I think you might love it.
Okay.
Ooh.
Is that all you're telling us?
Is it a puppy?
That's all I'm giving you right now. It's not a puppy.
Is it a Land Rover?
It's not a tiny kitty cat. home semi secured already.
Very exciting.
There's no risk of complacency?
No, I don't think so, because like, you know, it's like we know that we need to get a job done. Obviously we're all coming back into club and I think we'll all be in very different places. Obviously, Wales campaign, like that last win was massive for them, but I know the girls have struggled a bit like through the Six Nations. So making sure that we put an arm around and everyone's okay and we're ready to go. The first bit will just be about getting back to us, reconnecting and having a good time, and then just hopefully being able to play some nice rugby. Because the weather has not helped in the first bit of the PWR. Like, we really want to throw the ball around. We're waiting for that dry spell so we can really go after what we want to do. So hopefully on the weekend.
And for us.
and me.
And me. This first round of club after Six Nations is always really interesting because everybody comes back in such different places, whether it's the different internationals, whether it's individuals within that and maybe your contribution, whether it's the girls that have been at club, potentially in the cup or having not played at all and their contribution. Like, it's just a mashup of people in all kinds of different places. So to get everybody back on the same page super
and
fast.
Calls.
Yeah, get back into the language, club language. The amount of country calls that go on in that first week is ridiculous. It's so funny.
Not ours.
But some people are so easy to wind
She's
up.
So
you know,
smug.
I know. Like if someone drops a country call and then you'll be like, oh, I'll write that one down for next year.
Some
And you're like, oh, come on, I'm really winding you up.
No, don't. Singers has been doing it through the Singers. Red Roses like the whole time. I'm like, Sing, can you stop saying all the Gloucester Heartbreak calls? Honestly, bless her. But no, it is really hard to get your head back into it, especially when you're trying to like call the game and be like, oh, what is that? What do we call that? But yeah, exciting.
Good luck.
Thank you.
May the odds be ever in your favour.
Who's though? You have to pick one because we're against each
other. Yeah, are you coming in purple or red?
She's sat in red, so we'll leave it there.
Yeah. Sorry. I need to back a team that might get me to the final. Sorry, Scuzzy.
So fickle.
It's not. It's where are you?
I mean, you can come over to the red side. Eventually.
Have you got a chance? No.
Top four?
Yeah.
No.
Sorry,
no.
I just read 27 and then 46. Be interesting for that third, fourth place though.
Battle is on.
The battle is on.
Thank you so much for returning.
Thank you for having us back.
No, thank you. How have you found
you guys had so much fun without us. We didn't know if we'd still have a seat on the sofa.
Honestly, it was like musical chairs. I mean, the rate of turnover.
Which
here,
was your favourite one?
I was really nervous about having Ali Donnelly here. Mm. That was the one where, for me, as someone who works in the space, having two really big shots here with thoughts and opinions and, you know, theories and things they wanted to get across is definitely a bigger challenge. So I really enjoyed having
Don't worry,
that.
The small shots are back now.
Yeah, with theories and opinions.
Well, I mean, not
you had a nice you had a nice WXV one. I think it's just me.
Well, this one was more lit tit and bits. So, you know.
Can that be the title?
Lit tit and bits.
Yeah.
The good, the scars, and the bits.
I don't want to be the bits.
Okay, you can be the tit.
I'll be lit, thank you.
Really mature.
I will be lit.
High quality, very...
Sorry, we haven't even spoken about the hat.
Well I've tried to ignore it, but it's
we didn't
very
speak
prominent.
About it. You've sat there in it, played with the string every 2 minutes. I think people are well aware.
Thank
that
you so much for
on.
Making a hat, because I'm not a scrunchy girl. I love it.
For the people who are listening to the audio-only version,
no, it doesn't matter anymore.
Skaz is wearing a Bonsi Good the Skaz and the Rugby branded hat that has a string and a tightener below her chin that she has been sat there wearing like she's Huckleberry Finn.
Who's that?
So make sure you Google Huckleberry Finn, and then we'll see you again on the next edition of the Good the Skaz and Rugby, brought to you by Vodafone. The Good the Skaz and Rugby is a Folding Pocket production produced by Shara Kilgallen.
Woohoo!
That went so fast.
I need a wee.
You've been listening to The Good, The Skaz and The Rugby. A bit like Loose Women, but with less emphasis on working on your pelvic floor.
Then why is it not called a blue head?